Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 15. Description of Mystic Yoga Perfections. Text number 36. Aham Atman Taro Bhayo. Anavrita Savadehinam. Yata Bhutani Bhuteshu. Bahirantas Vayam Tata. Aham Atman Taro Bhayo. Anavrita Sarvadehinam. Yata Bhutani Bhuteshu. Bahiranta Swayam Tata.
Bahiranta Swayam Tata.
Aham.
I.
Atma.
Atma.
The Supreme Lord.
Antaraha.
Existing within.
Existing within.
As the Supersoul.
As the Supersoul.
Bhayaha.
Bhayaha.
Existing externally.
In my all-pervading feature.
Anavritaha.
Anavritaha.
Uncovered.
Uncovered.
Sarvadehinam.
Sarvadehinam.
Of all living entities.
Of all living entities.
Yatha.
Yatha.
Just as.
Just as.
Bhutani.
Bhutani.
The material elements.
Material elements.
Bhuteshu.
Bhuteshu.
Among living entities.
Among living entities.
Bahi.
Bahi.
Externally.
Externally.
Antaha.
Antaha.
Internally.
Internally.
Swayam.
Swayam.
Myself.
Myself.
Tata.
Tata.
In the same way.
In the same way.
Just as the same material elements exist within and outside of all material bodies, similarly I cannot be covered by anything else. I exist within everything as the Supersoul and outside of everything in my all-pervading feature. Purport. Lord Krishna is the entire basis of meditation for all yogis and philosophers. And here the Lord clarifies his absolute position. Since the Lord is within everything, one might think that the Lord is divided into pieces. However, the word anavrita, or completely uncovered, indicates that nothing can interrupt, disturb, or in any way infringe upon the supreme existence of the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. There is no actual separation between the internal and external existence of the material elements, which continuously exist everywhere. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is all-pervading and is the ultimate perfection of everything. Thus, in the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 11th canto, 15th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Krishna's Description of Mystic Yoga Perfections. Om Agyana Timirandasya Agyananjana Savakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Tiena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Jena Bhuktale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadapti Svabhadaptikam Mukam Karoti Vatsalam Pangum Langhaya Degurim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. Krishna is everything. Krishna is within everything. But we can't see him. The problem. Because it is difficult to perceive Krishna, without the performance of devotional service, then various misconceptions arise as to his existence, his presence, his personality. As is mentioned here. Since the Lord is within everything, one might think that the Lord is divided into pieces. Or, as is mentioned in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, one might think that he has lost his personality, or he doesn't have a personality. If he's spread within everything, if he exists within everything, and Krishna says that he exists within everything in his avyakta murtina, his unmanifest form. And because the living entity has a material covering, if you like, material senses, then the presence of the personality of Godhead, the presence of the personality of Krishna is very difficult to perceive. In fact, one can only experience the presence of Krishna through the process of devotional service. Atasi Krishna Namadi Namba Vedgrayam Indriyai Sevan Mukihi Jiva Dosvayam Evas Parachada. One has to purify the senses in order to be able to perceive the presence of Krishna, the personality of Godhead, within everything. Using our blunt material senses, we can only perceive that which is manifest by the gross material energy. But because Krishna is both Bahya and Antara, he's both within and without, and because his presence is manifest through the spiritual or internal potency, one's not able to perceive the internal presence of Krishna just using the blunt material senses. One has to see Krishna with spiritual eyes rather than with material eyes. Just like if you were to, you know, explore the body to find the presence of the soul. No matter how much you carved up the body, you know, in the Vedas it says the soul is situated within the, is seated within the heart. But if you chopped up the heart, try to look for the soul, you wouldn't find it. So similarly also, very difficult to find Krishna within and even without, without purifying the mind and the senses, so that one's actually able to perceive the Lord with one's spiritual senses, not with one's material senses. So one has to be engaged in devotional service for that purification to take place under the direction of the spiritual master, or under the direction of the devotees who act as the spiritual teaches. There is a mystery surrounding Krishna's presence within everything in his unmanifest form. Prabhupada gives the example, and the Vedas give the example of a fire. A fire is situated in the fireplace. So in that sense it's localized. But the fire's presence can be experienced all throughout the room by the expansion of the fire's energy in the form of heat and light. So even though the fire is situated in one place in the fireplace, still its presence is felt all throughout the room. Another example that is used is of the sunshine. The sunshine is a manifestation of the energy of the sun globe. Prabhupada uses this example a lot. We can say the sun is shining in the room, or the sun is in the room, but actually the sun is sitting up in the sky. You know, if you had the sun in the room, it would be unbearably hot. But we can appreciate the presence of the sun by, again, the heat and the light. So in that way, also similarly, even though Krishna exists or is situated in the spiritual realm, he is manifest in the material creation in the form of his energy, the material energy. And in that way, his presence is felt all throughout the whole of the creation, in the manifestation of the material energy. He's also present in a form of the super soul, which is a personal manifestation of the Lord. Ishvaraha sarvabhutanam hridesha junatishtati. So he's situated within the heart of all living entities. That's his personal feature. But it's very difficult to perceive Krishna in either of those features without the performance of devotional service. And in fact, the whole purpose of the yoga practice is meant to help the yogi come to this point of realizing the Paramatma feature of the Lord. In fact, at the beginning of this purport, Ridhananda Maharaj mentions here, Lord Krishna is the entire basis of meditation for all yogis and philosophers. So the whole purpose of the yoga system is to bring the devotee or the yogi to the point of realizing this personal manifestation of the Lord situated within the heart of all living entities, and to understand the relationship between the material energy and the, which is the external energy, and the internal or the spiritual potency. They actually have the same source. The internal energy and the external energy have the same source, which is ultimately Krishna. And even for a devotee, one who becomes very advanced through the practice of devotional service, a devotee is actually able to see the connection between the external and the internal, ultimately the connection with Krishna. Prabhupada gives the example that a devotee, when he sees the working of the material energy, he is able to appreciate Krishna's hand behind everything. You know, when he looks at a rose, then you can appreciate Krishna's artistry in the design of a rose, for example. When he sees the movement of the seasons, then he can understand that order, that structure, that pattern of existence has been orchestrated or designed by Krishna. And as an example, Prabhupada mentions a parent looking at their child's shoes, right? Or anybody's shoes. You know, when you come into the temple room and you want to see who's here, you look at the shoes. And then when you see the shoes, then you think of the person. Another example that Prabhupada gives in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is the example of Henry Ford being the owner of the Ford car manufacturing company. If you go into the shop floor and you walk around, you may not see Henry Ford because he's sitting in his office overseeing everything. But the whole assembly line, the workers, the cars that are coming off, the materials that are coming in, all of that is a manifestation of Henry Ford's potencies. But, you know, because Henry Ford was famous for creating the assembly line, if you like. You know, previously when they made motor cars, they just worked on one motor car. They built it from scratch and that was the finish of it. But he created the assembly line where the vehicle proceeded through a whole process and different people put the different parts on and eventually they built the machine. So because he was considered to be he was revolutionary in creating the assembly line, and he was really quite famous. So that manufacturing process is an expansion of Henry Ford's genius, if you like. But if you go into the assembly floor, you don't see Henry Ford. Yet he's behind the whole working of the factory. So similarly also, when a devotee looks at the material world and he sees how it's all working, he may not directly see Krishna, but he understands that Krishna's his presence is behind everything, and by his arrangement he's actually manifesting, controlling, organizing, maintaining everything. So when a devotee sees the manifestation of the material energy in all of its variety and in all of its form, then the devotee sees Krishna behind it, or is able to appreciate, yes, Krishna is behind this. For the materialist, Krishna's personality is covered. It is covered. You know, when you look at the material energy without an understanding, without a spiritual understanding, or without an appreciation of Krishna consciousness, then it's all bewildering. It's painful, in fact. You know, people say, if God is all good, then why is the world so bad? Right? Therefore there can't be a God. As an example of, you know, looking at a material energy, experience it and then thinking, how can God be part of this? But for a devotee who's engaged in devotional service, who's purified the mind and purified the senses and has followed the process of devotional service and has heard about Krishna's character, his potencies, his personality, and with some faith engages in the process of devotional service, then they're actually able to see Krishna's hand within the working of everything, and it can appreciate Krishna's personality by seeing how everything works. Krishna actually reveals his personality to the to the devotee. So just as a parent or even a person, a devotee, when we walk into the temple and we look at the shoes and we think, oh yeah, there's that person, we think of that person, so similarly also when a devotee sees the working of the creation, then automatically he connects with Krishna and can appreciate Krishna's genius, if you like, in being within everything. And in that sense, devotional service is required in order to be able to see Krishna and have that covering of the material energy. Queen Kunti explains in her prayers, you know, how the material energy is like a curtain. You know, you have a curtain on the stage and you can't see what's behind the stage. But then when the curtain is opened, then the actors come out and they perform there. They reveal the performance, the drama, if you like, of the play. So the material energy is such that it covers Krishna's presence within everything. So one needs a process whereby one can remove or open the curtain and see the spiritual personality behind it. And of course that process is the process of devotional service. The material energy has this covering potency. What is it? There's the avaranamika shakti and the prakshepatmika shakti. Here it is, this word. Anavrita means covered. Anavrita means no covering. Right? But the maya or the material energy, the maya shakti, if you like, has this potency of covering over the personality of Godhead. That's Maya's job. And the process of devotional service is the means by which we actually can utilize that energy. That energy has the capacity to cover us over, but we can also use that energy, because ultimately the energy is coming from Krishna. It has a connection with Krishna. As mentioned here, Krishna is ultimately the source of everything, the basis of meditation for all yogis and philosophers. Janmad yasya yataha. He is the source of everything. And we need to engage ourselves in the process or in the activities by which, instead of being covered over by the material energy, we're actually able to draw the curtain of the material energy and see the spiritual potency. So the process of devotional service is that activity or that purification which, when engaged in, removes the covering of the material energy and allows us to see Krishna's presence within everything. Or see Krishna's hand in everything, just as we can see, by observing the factory of Henry Ford, we can appreciate his genius. So, we're recommended to engage in the process of bhakti. First of all, one has to have some faith. The first ingredient or the first requirement is to have some appreciation that there is something beyond the material, that there is some higher purpose. Uh,
I remember when I was a very young boy, I used to think there's got to be something better than this. I remember when I was about 6 years old, and I remember one specific occasion, I walked out into the backyard of my house. We were living in Elizabeth. And I looked up at the sky and I just saw all the stars in the sky and I thought, wow, what is going on here? There's got to be something behind all of this. There's got to be a reason for it. So there has to be that some faith in a higher purpose. There has to be some appreciation of a higher existence other than the gross material existence. Eating, sleeping, mating and defending. You know, the mentality of the animals, basically. That's why the human form of life is so important, because in the human form of life we get an opportunity to question, what is going on here? Atato Brahma Jigyasa. We've come to the human form of life, so the responsibility of the human form of life is not to just be a better animal. Prabhupada would give the example, you know, the animals are running around on four legs and we're running around on four wheels. So what's the difference? Huh? We're driving around in a Mercedes and we think, oh yes, I've achieved the summum bonum of existence. Huh? But actually, you know, if there's no inquiry as to what is the purpose of life, why am I here? Where am I going? Especially, you know, when we see that ultimately we're hurtling towards death, basically. Either slowly or quickly, whichever way it is. One has to inquire. So, ado shraddha, in the beginning there has to be this inquisitiveness or some appreciation that there's got to be something higher than just, you know, waking up, going to work, eating breakfast, eating lunch, eating dinner, coming home, watching the television, going to sleep and then starting to do it all over again. There's no meaning to that. So the one who has some faith in a higher purpose questions then, what is the real purpose of life? They're inspired, actually. They're inspired to seek out those who can reveal the mystery, if you like. Right? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions, we were discussing the other day in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions how a devotee is naturally attracted to the principles of devotion and will be naturally attracted to the association of the devotees, therefore. So in the beginning there has to be some inquisitiveness, there has to be some impetus to want to understand what is going on. And then that impetus or that force, if you like, natural attraction, will bring one into the association of the devotees. Ado Shraddha Sadhu Sangha. Then in the association of the devotees, one then gets an opportunity to follow the process of devotional service, bhajana kriya. Very important. And that's where we get the instructions to practice devotional service. And of course that's the mechanism, if you like, if you want to put it in those terms. It's the process by which one engages the mind and the senses in devotional activities and gives us an opportunity to then purify the mind and the senses so that actually we're able to distinguish what's actually going on. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita how the material creation is made up of the spiritual and the material. 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And, you know, the philosophers, if you like, they're trying to analyse things, not this, not that, neti neti. That is a process whereby one is able, and the Sankhya process is designed in such a way so that one can look at the creation and divide it up into its constituent parts, and then be able to see then the spirit soul. You know, see the difference between the spiritual and the material. We've got the material, it comes in its subtle and its gross forms. And then more subtle is the presence of the soul. The most subtle, in fact, is the presence of the soul. So one has to engage in the process of devotional service in order to see these things in the proper perspective. To actually be able to perceive the presence of the soul. That's why in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam, Pavitram, Idam, Uttamam, Pratyak, Savagamam, Damyam, Susukam, Kartamavyayam. One has to follow this process, dharma, right? And it's mentioned, Krishna mentions, the process of devotional service, this Raja Vidya, 9th chapter, deals with the process of bhakti, basically. And that's considered to be the topmost knowledge or the topmost yoga system. It is considered to be the perfection of religion. Why? Because it gives us direct perception of who we actually are. So we're able to perceive the difference between material and spiritual by actually being able to realize ourselves, realize our spiritual identity as being something separate from the material energy. We experience, or I hope we should experience, our existence as being separate from the mind, as being separate from the subtle, the mind and intelligence and the false ego. The process of devotional service is able to reveal our individuality, if you like. And help us also to understand the manifestation of the material energy. And also gives us an opportunity to appreciate not just ourselves, but ourselves and our relationship with Krishna. That's why we have, careful Mahatmaji. Not too much ecstasy. You can hurt yourself. That's why we worship the deity and why we worship the devotees also. We actually, it mentions in the Shastra, that if one thinks that the deity is made of material elements, made out of wood or made out of stone or made out of metal, if one thinks like that, then one, and also if one thinks of the devotees as being, he's an Indian, he's an Aussie, or even there's a Mataji, here's a Babu, if one thinks in that way materially, then one has a very hellish mentality. And this is why deity worship is so important, and why worship of the devotees even is important. Because we worship them in different ways. We worship the deity in a particular way, and we worship the devotees. The beginning of worship of the devotees is in the morning, in a mantra kalpa turubhyascha kripa sindubhyascha. We offer our obeisances to the devotees. So it's not that we have to be all offering arti to each other all the time, necessarily. Although sometimes we do. Sometimes an elevated or a senior Vaishnava comes to our house, or actually I remember the devotees telling me in the 70s when Prabhupada was still present, when the GBC would come and visit the temple, then the devotees would, not all the time, but sometimes they would bring them in, sit them on a seat, wash their feet, have kirtan, and basically be offering respects to the personality, to the person. So similarly also, we have the worship of the deity is essential for us to establish this concept or this idea of personality. Now, if we look at the material energy, we can't see a person behind it, so we tend to think impersonally. And even Krishna himself says, Maya Titam Idam Sarvam Jagat Avyakta Murtina. I am manifest within everything in my impersonal form. And of course, Krishna does have an impersonal form. But that's not his only form. There's his personal form as well. The personal form is the one that's directing everything, that's organizing everything, orchestrating everything, designing everything. And so therefore, especially within the bhakti system, the bhakti yoga process, this bhajana kriya, we're taught to worship the personal form of the Lord in his manifestation as the Archavigraha. Very important. And we shouldn't shirk the responsibilities of serving the deity, actually. You know, sometimes devotees get a little frustrated because the service, the deity service, is a huge responsibility. And sometimes the devotees think, oh, we've got to serve the deities. You know, why can't I go and preach? But actually, my experience is if you serve the deities, you are preaching. We are. By serving Krishna, by serving the deity, we're demonstrating this is devotional service. That is preaching. That's why Prabhupada went to such, you know, when you think about it, Prabhupada went to great lengths and endeavors to establish temples all over the world. In India, Mayapur, Vrindavan, Mumbai, around the world, New York, Los Angeles, London, Melbourne. And the reason being is that the worship of the deity is pivotal for establishing the personal relationship between the devotee and Krishna. That we're serving someone. Well, not just someone, we're serving Krishna, ultimately. Not just someone, but very specifically we're serving Krishna. And of course, you know, Krishna, if we render service to Krishna, then Krishna, being a person, he will reciprocate with the devotees. If we think, as Prabhupada says, you know, if you think that the deity is just some stone or some metal or some wood, then you've got a hellish mentality. So even though it may be inconvenient for us, physically or materially, you know, sometimes the pujari doesn't turn up, or there's not enough devotees to do the fruit offering, or the whatever, then we have to do it. And we think, well, what am I going to do that for? Well, actually, it's because Krishna wants you to do it. You know, Krishna saying, please come and serve me. And we say, no, I don't want to serve you, Krishna. It's too much of a trouble. I've got other more important things to do. But we have to be careful about that kind of mentality. Because, especially if we have a direct connection with the deity, you know, I'll give you an example. You know, it's quite touching in one sense, or it's humbling when, you know, when you get some realizations from the devotees who've previously served here in Melbourne and they've gone other places. And you know, Sadananda came just the other day for a course that he was doing in Sydney, and he came down to see me at home, and he said, "Oh, Prabhu," he said, "it was just nectar to go into the deity room this morning." He said, "I don't know what it is." But he said, when I go and serve the deities in Christ Church, it's not the same. Not to diminish the devotee service in Christ Church, because obviously it's also devotional service. But he said, when you step inside the deity room in Melbourne, then he said, automatically you feel this energy. In fact, you know, all you have to do is walk in the front gate. Right? I remember we... we used to go out on, well, going out on Sankirtan, and you know, you'd be out all day slogging it out, selling whatever it was that we were selling, candles or paintings or whatever, and you know, constantly dealing with non-devotees. So it's quite a strain on the consciousness to have to be constantly dealing with what do we call them? Mudhas. But then you'd come home, and then as soon as you drive in the back gate, you could feel the spiritual potency. And then you run into the cool room to see if there was any prasadam. Oh, I've got to have something. Got to have some prasadam. Actually, I remember once coming home, it was a codicil, but I was so hungry, and I saw some chapatis. I thought, fantastic, this stuff. Then, oh, it's a codicil. There was. But you know, there's the potency of and we'll experience it. You know, we've got Snanyatra coming up. You know, Snanyatra is basically a festival that is focused on serving the deity, and it's, you know, it's one of the most inspiring and enthusing events of the year, because we get an opportunity to render that service, you know, directly to Krishna. And of course, Krishna reciprocates with that. You know, it's not something that can be measured materially, but it's something which is experienced spiritually. So, in the association of the devotees, we get to do that bhajana kriya, and the bhajana kriya, or the activities of devotional service, very much revolve around rendering service to the deity, so that we establish within our consciousness this understanding that I am a servant of Krishna, that I have a personal relationship with Krishna. And by and especially here, we get that opportunity to serve the deities in a very personal way. It has great power, it has great potency. So one's then able to see the connection between what I'm doing and my relationship with Krishna. What the material energy is, it's ultimately Krishna's, and it's meant for Krishna's service. When the material energy is actually used in Krishna's service, then it stops being material, actually. Because ultimately, we were discussing the other day, that all of the creation is all it's all a manifestation ultimately of Krishna's energy. And so therefore it has a spiritual source. And the example I was giving over at Bala's place, you know, an iron bar is just dull matter. That if you get an iron bar and you stick it in the fire and you heat it up and heat it up and heat it up and heat it up, when you take it out of the fire and you touch something, then it burns. So even though it's still it's still an iron bar, because of its association with the fire, then it has changed its potency, or it's changed its characteristic. So similarly also, the material energy, when it is utilized in devotional service, then instead of being the material energy, it then becomes the spiritual energy. So when we use all of these potencies and all of these energies and connect them with the source of the energy, Prabhupada gives the example of the powerhouse. Krishna is like the powerhouse. Similar example to the sunshine coming from the sun globe, or the heat and light coming from the fire. So the material energy is ultimately connected to Krishna, the powerhouse, and that's his energy. When you utilize that energy in Krishna's service, then it is imbued with spiritual potency. It is not material. The problem is, or the trick is, that Maya, that covering over potency, especially for the devotees, Maya has a special potency for the devotees. For those who are covered over, for those who are existing in the material world, they're already covered over. They're thinking in terms of, you know, I am this body, aham, aham ameti. They're thinking in terms of I and mine. But the devotees have an aspiration, or they're inspired to see things from the spiritual perspective, aham brahmasmi, that I am, you know, spiritual by nature. But Maya has a special potency just for the devotees to pull them back down into material consciousness. This is, and in one sense, you know, the process of devotional service is basically designed in such a way so as to break through or to withstand the pressure of the material energy to pull us back down into material consciousness. So, you know, as recommended, we follow the process of devotional service, bhajana kriya. What is it? Atasi Krishna Nama Di Bhavid Grayam Indriyai. What's the next line? Sevan Mukhe Hijivado. Yes, we engage our, what is ostensibly material, if you like, in spiritual service, and then that engagement turns the material into spiritual. And with the purification of that spiritual practice, then instead of seeing things from the material perspective, we get an opportunity with purified mind and senses to experience everything from the spiritual platform. And so instead of, you know, seeing, you know, inside and outside, we're actually able to, and from a material perspective, we're actually able to see, yes, inside and outside, but ultimately inside and outside connected to Krishna. And see everything rather from an impersonal perspective, or certainly we can appreciate the impersonal perspective, but we can also connect the impersonal perspective with the personal. Because the impersonal, it exists. It does. It's there. There's no doubt about it. But it's the basis of the impersonal is ultimately the personal. In the 12th chapter, Krishna mentions Brahmano hi pratishtaham. I am the basis of the impersonal. Or an example that I like to give the students. You know, you're now looking at my personal form, right? But if I want to show you my impersonal form, all I have to do is turn around and face the wall and show you my back. Right? If you want to ignore somebody or, you know, shun them, then you just basically turn around and that's it. See the backside. But the backside and the front side, they're all, you know, Krishna has his backside and Krishna has his front side. And basically Krishna's backside is his impersonal feature. Or we can understand it in that way. So the process of devotional service is designed in such a way so that we can connect basically everything with the personal feature of, or Krishna's personal feature. So does anybody have any comments or questions? Right. Why does he pull us down? Krishna is very kind and he likes to fulfill your desires, even if your desires are not healthy for you. He creates a facility so that you can exercise your independence and try and fulfill your desires, but at the same time he teaches you that actually this is not the best, right? This is not the best. So because we have free will and independence, and we can choose to surrender to Krishna directly by serving him through devotional service, or we can have we have another choice. We can serve him indirectly by staying in the material world and pursuing, you know, the material energy and the phantasmagoria that it creates, even though it's not good for us. But if that's what we want, then he gives us that facility. Right? So ultimately, it's not so much what he does, but ultimately it's what we want. And that's the underpinning of that, of the manifestation, basically, the material creation. The material creation is not manifest because Krishna wants it, it's manifest because we want it. Right? Yeah, that's the argument or that question that people have. You know, if God is good, why is there so much bad? Huh? That's why when I noticed that my mum and dad weren't going to church anymore, I said, "Mum, why aren't you going to church?" And that's what my mum said. She said, "Oh, there's just so much bad in the world. How can we believe in God?"
So it's just that we keep our problems on God.
Yes. Yeah, we project our faults onto him.
That's the major problem with religion, is that?
The major problem with religion?
Or the major problem with people perceiving religion is that they're pinning all the faults and all the problems on God.
Yeah.
The humans that are creating it.
Yeah, well, that's right. We can't blame our faults on Krishna. Although ultimately he sanctions everything, right? He's the upadrasta anumantacha, he's the overseer and the permitter. Still, it's our individuality that's being manifest as a result of our desire. That's independence. That's free will. That's allowing us to manifest our individuality. But it's individuality manifest in an beneficial way.
The what? Snow and everything.
Snow.
So how do you? Is it because Krishna is mining them, or what is it?
What is it? It's called. It's called. What is it called? Agama Payano Nityas Tangstitikshva Bharata. Matraspasasta Kuntaya Sitoshna Sukha Dukkha. Yeah. We're thinking, oh, it's summertime, wonderful. They're thinking, oh, it's wintertime, boo. Although, you know, they're having fun too, they're having their snow fights. Right? Throwing snow at each other and having.
Is it a reminder for people to think of the snow?
I don't know. For some people it isn't. Like I said, you know, there has to be some sort of inquisitiveness. There has to be some attempt to understand what's going on here. But not everybody thinks like that. Right? You know, it's not that every person we stop on the street when we're selling a book, they say, "Oh, fantastic. I've been wondering about the purpose of life." And see, that's the thing, you know, the covering potency, the avaranatmika shakti, has this power to make people think that just eating, sleeping, mating and defending is, that's it. Right? And even, you know, in very depressed situations, in very difficult situations, if people can just get a meal, they think, wow, that's it, I've made it. Can you imagine? The material energy is so punishing that it can cover us so completely that just, you know, we think, yeah, I've achieved the purpose of life when I can get something to eat. That's amazing.
Yeah.
and there are places, or that I managed to stay alive today. In some places, you know, so material energy has extraordinarily powerful, but it doesn't because it creates a lot of suffering. It doesn't mean that automatically people think about, you know, their spiritual position, their spiritual. Although, who was telling us that story the other day? You know, the Russians in the Sputnik. Who was telling us that story? Was it Navina Narada? Oh, in the Juni Maharaj, yeah. The Russians and the president was saying, you know, how he asked the astronaut, "What do you see out there?" He said, "I didn't see anything." And so he said, "Yeah, this is proof that God doesn't exist." But then when the Sputnik was out of control and the cosmonaut was in trouble, what did he say? "Oh my God, please help me." So sometimes in a difficult situation, people will pray to God. Just like there's a saying, you know, there are no atheists on the battlefield. When the bombs are dropping, then people are praying, "Oh God, help me." Right? But sometimes not. Sometimes not. It's just a struggle for existence, and that's all people can see is their hope. So the material energy has that covering potency, very, very powerful. But for those who have an innate sense of devotion, then yes, difficult situation that has to be tolerated. Krishna said you have to tolerate, but it can inspire a devotee to actually appreciate, well, God's in control. I wonder what he's got in store for me next. Huh? What is it? God's in control. Anything can happen. Be prepared. Yeah. And when it gets really hot, you know, it gets really hot here and, you know, we get bushfires and everybody gets burnt. People don't automatically then think, oh, you know, actually, it's interesting. You know, this year, when the bushfires, when there were the bushfires, and you know, 175 people were killed, then one of the Christian groups said, you know, this is a result of the fact that we're all sinful and God's punishing us. Right? Does anybody remember that? And then there was a big uproar. How dare you say that? That we're suffering as a result of our sinful activities. Right? There's a big uproar. How dare you say we're suffering as a result of our sinful activities? You know, this is just our bad luck. We're innocent. You know, look at all of these innocent people getting burnt to death. Yeah. So you may say that, but not everybody thinks like that. And see, that's the thing, you know, a devotee will tend to see Krishna's hand behind everything, whereas a materialist can't. They can't see it. They can't see. And if it's pointed out to them, they go, "Oh no, 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 we don't want to know about that." All right, we should finish here. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.